الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن: ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا. خالق الفعل الله قال في القرآن في سورة الدعاء: هو our Lord, do not take us if we forget or if we make mistakes. He said, I did. قد فعل. So we know that making mistakes and forgetfulness are excuses. And especially in this issue, therefore the scholars of Al-Islam said a very important point. He said, it's not much better for me to make mistakes of 1,000 infidels and consider them a believer than to make mistake of one Muslim and make him a disbeliever. It's much better for me, and I'd rather make mistakes by considering 1,000 infidels to be believers, by making a mistake and considering one Muslim to be a disbeliever, an infidel. Because there's major rules concerning to establish a person as a disbeliever. His wife has to be separated from him. He's not to be inherited. He's not to be buried with the Muslims. It's not easy. Therefore, it's not up to us when we go and deal with a person on a daily basis and we talk and say, he's us. People have the tendency to just pass rules like that. You talk to a person and say, yes, I discussed with him this issue and I think he's out. Did you establish the argument? Yes. And there's no argument was established in a sound and reasonable way. So we leave it up to the scholars to rule in this issue. Just like if you come to me and somebody died in your family and left a wife, three children, an uncle, brother from the mother's side, the brother from the father's side, can you figure out the inheritance? Chances are you can't. Because that requires before knowledge. So how come you find a person, people find it very easy to say this is a person of disbeliever? Just like you don't know on those issues, you don't know on the other issues. So those rules have to be very discussed in detail. Now we move to B. Because A was to pass judgment based on other than the revelation. And we went through all of that. Passing judgment based on other than the revelation, we went all of the details and the implication of that. Now B, to legislate laws of religion. Now it's not passing a judgment. This person only legislation laws. That of other than religious nature. Why do I say of other than religious nature? Because people legislate laws when the red light is on, you stop. When the green light is on, you go. Those are they are organizational laws. But if the person who passed laws, he is the lawmaker. This person who is a lawmaker, he is also one of the following, in the exact same position. He might be a disbeliever, he might be a fascist, he might be a volley. If he is a disbeliever, because he has certain implications, he is denying that Allah and His Messenger have the last in his day, thus he legislates. Even though if he did not rule by those legislations, the first individual he rules, and he rules the laws as a reference point. But this person, he did not rule yet, he only legislated the laws. Or this person does not deny that Allah and His Messenger have the right to rule, but he advocates that his legislation is better than the legislation of Allah. This represents the belief. The third that this individual, this lawmaker, does not deny that Allah and His Messenger have the right to rule, but he advocates that his own laws that he himself legislates are equivalent to the rules of Allah. And the fourth issue, that this person believes Allah does not have the exclusive right to legislate. Even though if he did not legislate one letter, but he has in his heart believes that Allah does not, it's not exclusive to Allah to legislate. Just like to that, we will recite in Tawheed, that somebody worships only Allah, but in his heart considers Jesus worthy of worship. Even if he does not worship him one time, this person is not a believer. Didn't he discuss that? But this person who legislates and makes laws, he might be doing that to transgress and take the property of others. Or he might be doing that for fusuq reasons. And also we say that those who make the laws, the lawmakers, before we take those and we implement the rules to them, we have to make sure that they are not ignorant to the fact that they do not have lack of knowledge, and all misunderstandings are clear points for them. I'll give you an example. It was reported that during the time of Uthman radiallahu anhu, they caught a girl and they brought her to Uthman, and she did fornicate. Uthman bin Affan asked her, "Did you fornicate?" She said, "Yes." Just like that. He said, "Take her and administer the appropriate punishment." Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu was sitting. He told him, because he realized, he said yes in a very casual way, as if she were, "Would you eat?" He said yes. He told her, "You know that fornication is haram?" She said no. She did not know. Then the rule was, the religious punishment was not administered to her, because she did not know. Another example, that a person might make laws that despise the religion, and he has a misunderstanding. Because the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says to the people, "Antum awla bi umuri dunyakum." You are more aware and knowledgeable about the issue of your own living. So a person might misunderstand this hadith to say that it's permissible to legislate rules concerning the way we live. So we're going to legislate banks and economical systems and river systems and desire security based on this hadith. So he had a misunderstanding of this hadith. So he is legislating those laws not in the purpose to oppose Allah and His Messenger, but based on misunderstanding. So this person cannot be considered a disbeliever. And still, the evidence has been presented to him in a sound and a reasonable way, and all misunderstandings are clear signs. And the major rule in this issue is there is 1% or less room to give, to excuse this person, we should do that. But it's less than 1%, because it's better to make mistakes by considering 1,000 infidels as Muslims than to consider one Muslim as an infidel. So now we have discussed about two things in this Tawheed lesson today. that matters and practices that will make a person a disbeliever could be one of two things. To pass judgment based on other than the revelation, or to enact, to legislate laws. Passing judgment on other than the revelation, this person who does that could be disbeliever, could be a kafir, a zalim, or a fasik. Also the person who makes laws, he could be a kafir, a fasik, and a zalim. But that refers to the issue itself. But when we want to apply that on a specific individual, we have to understand that the right to consider people infidel are exclusive to Allah and His Messenger. And we have to understand that that rule, when they are implemented, we have to make sure that the person is not doing what he is doing based on ignorance, not doing what he is doing based on lack of knowledge, and he is not doing what he is doing based on misunderstanding. And this issue, we leave it up to the major scholars in our religion to deal with those very high, complicated issues. Having said that, we stop, inshallah, at this point. And if you have any questions, we try to answer them. وهذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Before I end, nah. Okay, you can ask this one.
The person who himself is saying protect, isn't in that in himself meaning other than the people of Allah?
Of course. When a person goes and runs his mouth and he says to every person he sees, not according to his own program, who are disbelievers, you are disbeliever. They tell him, why this person is a disbeliever, you are saying about him? Because he will respond and say, because he's not ruling by the book of Allah. They tell him, then are you ruling by the book of Allah when you say going around or doing that? He himself not doing what he is blaming people. Therefore the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, one of you will see the splinter in the eye of your brother, and you do not see the trunk in your eye. No, the deviant sects of Islam, they are as the word, they are deviant. And this deviation varies. Some of them, they are so deviant that they go with their deviation straight up. Like, for example, Al-Batiniyya. Those Al-Batiniyya who say the Quran has double meaning. Meaning for some meaning for the lay people, for the common people, and there are hidden meaning for the exclusive people. And they start looking into the Quran and going with the rules itself. Other people like Al-Ahmadiyya, or not Al-Ahmadiyya, those people who came in India, who pray like we pray, as they fast as we fast. But they say there's a messenger who came after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is Ahmadiyya. Ahmad Ghulam Mirza. That was the messenger. Yeah. So those people, they go with their deviation outside the form of Islam. There's other groups that they are deviant but they do not go outside the fold of Al-Islam. They are remained in the fold of Al-Islam, and based on their deviation, a religious ruling is given to them. But you have to understand also that those people who belong to certain deviant groups cannot be excused because of lack of knowledge or ignorance. The same principle applies to what is actually today. The same rule applies. So when we say deviant, that is the general rule. When we want to apply on a specific person, we have to apply the rules that have to be considered when we apply on a specific person. For example, we know and we hear about an Imam Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, not Mu'min Musa al-Ash'ari, Musa al-Ash'ari al-Sahabi, Abu Hassan al-Ash'ari. Abu Hassan al-Ash'ari was upon the madhhab of Al-Mu'tazila. Al-Mu'tazila says, whoever does a sin, a major sin, he is a disbeliever. But Abu Hassan al-Ash'ari was upon that due to lack of knowledge, not due to bigotry. Therefore, when knowledge was made available to him and presented to him in a time and a reasonable way, he made a comeback to the manhaj of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. He came back to the truth. And he wrote a book against the madhab that he was upon. So from that we understand that people who belong to deviant groups, they might be in there because they were born in there and they did not have the opportunity to be educated. Therefore, for us, when we want to say all of this group is deviant, that applies to the generality of their creed. Meaning their creed is deviant. But every individual, one of them, who, before we implement this rule upon this individuality, we have to go by the two conditions that we have specified. Allah Ta'ala.
This is a question about the actual book of the first book of the
Jews
and the rest of the book. Is it related to the rest of the book? No, so. About the higher, it's kind of like you need to go for a while. But I would like to more understand the moment of the situation with the Jews and 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 the
Yeah, they said in al-Hukm when there was a time when Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, he wanted to make an agreement with Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan radiallahu anhu. The Khawarij came and they said, we do not want this agreement and we do not want to have judges to come to reconcile the differences. And the reason why they did not want to do that because they said, إِنْ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ Ruling to Allah. Ruling is exclusive to Allah. Ali bin Abi Talib رضي الله عنه said, كلمة الحق أريد بها باطل. He said, this is a true statement. But the way they are using it is false. Because it truly is ruling is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But who is going to implement those rules? The people will implement the rules of Allah. So part of implementing the rules of Allah is to bring the arbitrator to remove the differences. Therefore, when Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu went to discuss those halal, and it's a very interesting discussion. Part of this conversation that took place between them, he said, I came to you from Al-Muhajirin wal-Ansar. those people who were with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And amongst you, there is none of him. So this is the foundation that he made. I came to you from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those who testified the revelation, who witnessed the revelation. Those people who received the pure understanding. And you have none of those amongst you. So who has more authority to talk about the Quran? Similarly, nowadays we say when we are talking to a deviant group, we are coming to you with the understanding of the righteous predecessor. We are coming to you with the understanding of the Prophet and his messenger and the companion. We are coming to you with the Salafi understanding of this religion. As none of you is upon this understanding. The same principle was used by Ibn Abbas. And then he said to Ibn Abbas, when he was discussing the Khawarij and talking to them, he said, I ask you by Allah, for Allah to pass the rule and leave his ruling up to humans, to rule against the person who kills the rabbit while he is safe in al-ihram. Would it be more fitting for us to get arbitrator to save the blood of the Muslim? The argument is, you know that it's haram for you in the state of al-ihram to kill the game. If a person kills a game, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, a just judge should rule what is equivalent to that game. The judge, or not the ruler, the just judges. So Ibn Abbas said to the people, if Allah left it to the just judges to rule on an issue relating to a rabbit, will it be fitting for us to leave it to arbitrators to rule on an issue to save the blood of the human, of the Muslim? Few of them said yes. And they came back to the truth. But some of them, who they are bigots to their understanding, they remained upon what they were remained upon. And then they were killed by Ali bin Abi Talib, radiallahu anhu, wa arba'ahu. I won't make the event. So there is no more questions, inshaAllah. We conclude this session tonight. وجزاكم الله خير وهذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك